To conclude this article, the weapons were brought into Wilmington, North Carolina, and then were transferred to the Merex Corporation. M-E-R-E-X, the same corporation, the same title, that shows up in Colonial Dignitat. And one might think that's a coincidence that the largest arms dealer, one of the largest arms dealers of the world, share the same names, but it shares the same people. The same persons are involved. And therefore, there's a large reason to believe that this Merex is the same Merex company of Mr. Gerhard Mertens, who is a big pusher for Colonial Dignitat and has since it really got operating in 1961. The Merex Corporation has a private address in Savannah, Georgia. No record of a Merex Corporation could be found by these reporters, the LA Times. However, the Savannah address is occupied by several companies, including Combat Military Ordnance Limited, a separate a firm apparently controlled by retired military officer James P. Atwood. Atwood is a longtime Georgia resident involved with lots of major arms trades with international buyers, and James Atwood refused to be interviewed. Now, Jonathan Marshall, who co-authored a book, The Iran-Contra Connection, also part of the title is The Secret Teams and Covert Operations in the Reagan Era, published by South End Press this year, in 1987, had a newsletter called Parapolitics. And in Parapolitics, he described an agency called the company that's been involved in, described as the largest drug smuggling operation ever covered in the United States. And in the Parapolitics section on the company, it goes into Frank Turple, a former CIA agent who was working with the company, with this company, and the CIA people are so heavily woven with that company, and they call themselves the company, that you can assume that under the CIA dash, narcotics, traffic, gun running, assassinations, they are both the same. And in the article that Jonathan Marshall wrote, he said, is now clear that the conspiracy of Frank Turple and drug traffic and billions of dollars of drug traffic encompassed a bewildering array of arms traffickers, CIA agents, and murderers. And this already had 60 indictments back a few years ago, so it's verified that these people are involved in those charges that he made. And in Jonathan Marshall's article, he tells about Frank Turple, and one of the key figures of the company was John Etheridge, who surrendered last fall. He's cooperating with authorities. He's a former aide to Congressman John Jenrette Jr., and Etheridge is also the middleman between Frank Turple, remember Edwin Wilson, Frank Turple partners, and Colonel James Atwood, an international gum dealer who sold large cash of arms abroad, particularly to Latin America. Atwood had a history of service for U.S. intelligence, widely rumored to have done favors for the CIA. In 1978, he leased an island estate off of Savannah, Georgia, to Bradley Bryant, who links to the company killing the drug killing of Judge Wood in Texas that I've talked about before. And also, he set on the island a mercenary training group. And this particular Etheridge and Atwood were closely, as they working partners with Frank Turple, who Turple's associates included Carlos, the famous Venezuelan-born terrorist, who the Israelis accused of masterminding the 1972 Munich massacre. And Frank Turple also helped arm Idi Amin and teach torture down in Uganda. And Idi Amin now lives in Saudi Arabia. But this same Colonel James Atwood is tied to that company, to training mercenaries, and also to the company not only a few years ago, Wilson and Turple, and again, Wilson involved with the Task Force 157 and the change of government in Chile, and with Colonial Dignitat, and there are more links that I will be getting into. He is linked to Merex Company in 1986-87, doing dealings with Secord and Hakim and Thomas Kleins, and then we find Thomas Kleins down in Chile. Now, I'm going to go over with you just a resume of the broadcasts I did on Colonial Dignitat. Some of you, as I say, have those broadcasts so you can get out those tapes, and if you don't have them, they're available. The ones April the 20th, the 27th, and May the 4th, 1979, the comparisons to Jonestown, and that's very important. But I want to get into the story of Colonial Dignitat that broke this past week, Christmas Day, from the Washington Post, and then take those pieces and follow them up with other articles about Colonia. Some I've had on the air, some I haven't had, and the links to the Merrick's Corporation, the Merrick's Arms Dealings, and Mr. Gerhard Merton, an associate of Otto Skorzeny, the notorious Skorzeny, and their links to Germany, to France, Joseph Strauss, and tried to put together in the next few weeks the story of torture, of the use of these agencies by the United States. Michael Townley of the CIA came out of Colonia Dignidad, worked for the CIA, then went to Germany to meet with a person such as Franz Joseph Strauss, and then was instrumental in setting up a team that killed Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt in Washington, D.C. At the time that George Bush was CIA director, he was working directly with these people. So I'm giving you a little preview of things to come as I just take the current article that doesn't give you all those threads, and I'll be going into those. And then Jack Anderson did a series of articles on Colonia Dignidad and Operation Condor, the very thing that Eugene Hasenfuss mentioned, and Jack Anderson ran a long series of stories on this that should have shaken a lot of people a long time ago. But now this story broke Christmas, and it broke because of the missing children in Germany, and we have plenty of those in the United States. And there are worries about whether they are being sacrificed for rituals, experimentations, being turned into a Nazi youth for the future. This missing children took place, I mentioned that videotape I bought called The Broider Band, The Hitler Youth, how Hitler took children, bright children, from their parents, either had each of the parents murdered or simply kidnapped them in Germany during World War II to make an army of approximately 1 million they wanted by 1980 of Hitler Youth that would be surfacing. So children that were missing from all the occupied countries in Germany during World War II, as soon as Hitler went into these countries, and where those children are, who raised them, of course we don't know. They changed their names. And the story about Colonia is that people went in there and were given other names. There was no way to trace them because they were given another name, and if you asked for them, they'd say they weren't there. So this happened during World War II, and then most of the top Nazis passed through or were part of and kept with Colonia Dignidad, taught torture, as if the Americans didn't know it from Vietnam and the Phoenix Program, were continuing the Phoenix Program of dropping people out of aeroplanes, deciding that was the way to get rid of them, and a lot of other ways that were even less kind than that, if you can put a value on them. So I want to just share this story of Colonia Dignidad. It's from the Washington Post, and this is Christmas Day, December 25th. Merry Christmas, Washington. I'm not sure many people saw it on Christmas Day. The title of the article is German Settlement Stirs Controversy. The settlement, Colonia Dignidad, came from Germany. Their spiritual leader had a questionable past. The secretness of the vast enterprise built on 12,000 acres and the recurring horror stories have kept them in the news, now under suspicion, for more than two decades, from 1967 to 1987. There were two UN reports that I'll go into in 1967 that should have caused reason for eyes to open up, and I was talking about them, as I say, in 1979. Now it's 20 years, two decades, and the German government is finally trying, or saying they're trying, to get a handle on it. The leaders of the community insist that they're nothing more than a disciplined agricultural community. So few have fled, and their stories are chilling. They are kept under double barbed wire fence. There is forced labor, sexual abuse, mind-altering drugs, corporal punishment, segregation of men from women, and separation of children from parents, stories of torture and murder. A former secret police agent and a police informant have both backed up these claims by several detainees that political prisoners were tortured and killed at Colonia Dignidad, commencing immediately after Augusto Pinochet took his power in 1973. And, of course, it was directly Henry Kissinger's policy. His mentor, remember, is this mysterious Fritz Kramer. Kissinger, and I'll go into more about his orders about the overthrow of Allende in Chile, Henry Kissinger, and then Kissinger with Task Force 157, Richard Nixon ordered and actually orchestrated the demise of Salvador Allende. And then came the Pinochet, and out came the Nazi swastika flags in Chile celebrating the emergence of Pinochet, and he's firmly entrenched there now today. The West German authorities have either ignored the stories of colonial dignitat or they have supported the activities for fraternizing with their members. For 25 years, these stories have been passed over. The West German government has finally decided to try to lift the veil. We see the word veil a lot of times, I think, in the Woodward book now, surrounding it. The West German ambassador of Chile counselor office visited the colony to see many of the members who are German. He went there November 1987, just before the holidays. The diplomats came away with the impression that Colonia, or the colony members, were not able to speak freely with them. And this is what happened when Leo Ryan went down to Jonestown. And, of course, he never made it home. He was killed at the airport. These men came home but said they couldn't talk to us. December the 13th, 1987, a month later, a special commission was appointed by the West German government. The colony blocked that investigation with a court order. So the delegation left Chile December 18th. They stayed around 5 days, couldn't get in. The mission, despite its failure to gain access, presented a report to the foreign minister, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, about the colony. A German judge tried to sort out the facts from fiction after years of delay, and now a Chilean court has approved, evidently, a request to take depositions from 33 individuals connected with the settlement. And again, what's opening this now is the missing children from Germany. And if they miss from Germany, they could also be some from the United States that we saw on our milk cartons and grocery bags for a while. Harmut Hopp, H-O-P-P, a doctor who serves at Colonia, couldn't figure out why the German government was interested in them. We don't have any importance in international politics. Well, if they raise these youth for the Fourth Reich, then it becomes international. They may just be in Chile now, but they may be international at another time. One reporter from Chile, one of Pinochet's favorite reporters from the newspaper El Mercurio that he is associated with, or they like his policies, was allowed to visit in December of 1980. That was 7 years ago. Otherwise, Colonia is closed to every journalist. He said at the time, it's an austere community, a bit eccentric, but not sinister, just strict, but not sinister. Life with the family takes a back seat to work. The relations between sexes are regimented. Children are kept in single-sex dormitories. They're not permitted to watch TV or listen to the radio, which is okay. Women wear dresses. They're not allowed trousers or shorts. And there's long hours of work without any pay. Work should, it is a quotation, work should be for the purpose of human life. One should not feel that one must rest after 8 hours of work. And this is the kind of situation going on where our president doesn't mention this in human rights, and he sends money to this country and has established relationships with this country and argues with the Soviet Union about human rights. To continue the article, this is a quotation of Mr. Hopp, the doctor there. There is a malformation in modern man that makes him think he is obligated to rest and have fun after 8 hours of work. That reminds me of the quotation of Dr. Jose Delgado, who worked for Navy Intelligence, the same Navy that Admiral Poindexter came from, who said that the situation in the world is so important that man doesn't have the right to the use of his own mind. The doctor at Colonio said there is a malformation in man that makes him think he's obligated to rest and have fun after 8 hours of work. Chileans who live nearby feel uncomfortable with the settlement's strict ways, and they have bitter confrontations with critics over the past years Colonia has had with their critics. People here are afraid, said one nun whose property was claimed by Colonia in 1984. People buy their products. They go to the hospital for medical care. But when you confront the colony past a point, it is danger, meaning your life is in danger. Colonia Dignidad was founded by Paul Schaefer, and this information I had going back to 1979. He founded in 1961. The police sought him in West Germany on charge of sexually abusing children at a youth home that he ran in Seeburg near Bonn. Schaefer showed up in Chile in 1962, and then the German government started paying him, so they weren't really worried about children and abuse because he left Germany and came to Chile. He took with him originally 60 adults and children. Some children came with their parents' consent. Some gave them consent, and the parents stayed in Germany. And others, according to complaints, that they were taken under false pretenses. That means kidnapping or simply grabbing children. They were taken away from their parents. Since 1962, the colony has become a state within a state. Just as Ollie North and the National Security Council had their own self-sufficient fund and their ships and their planes and bank accounts in Switzerland and millions of dollars to do what they wanted with, the Colonia Dignitat, was a state and is a state within a state. It maintains its own airport, airfield, wheat mill, bakery, 65-bed hospital, meat processing factory, dairy, its own cemetery. They have a fleet of heavy trucks, a mechanics workshop, a power plant. They make bricks and tile. It has a powerful communication system in touch with ancillary operations in Santiago, Chile. It provides a school, free medical attention to neighbors. And they opened a roadside restaurant near Bulnes where you can buy bread, honey, cheese, sausages, and cake. Colonia Dignitat changed its name just recently. It's no longer called Colonia Dignitat. It's called Via Baviera, B-A-V-I-E-R-A, Bavarian Village. They have a close affinity for southern German state of Bavaria and for the Conservative Christian Social Union Chairman Franz Josef Strauss. And again, his name comes up in books on Murder on Embassy Row and the Orlando Letelier story and our CIA murder where Michael Townley and the other persons go to Bavaria to see Mr. Strauss, Franz Josef Strauss, before they do a bombing in Washington, D.C. And Strauss is the hero of Bavaria. They've named the area. Now it has a new name, Via Baviera, and they keep pictures of Strauss and posters at the colony as their hero. And he's the strongest, outspoken conservative Nazi from the last administration. There are former Nazis who have become president of Germany, but he is one of the avowed right wing, and he's part of the establishment of Colonia Dignitat and is linked to our intelligence community and assassinations at home and the tortures that take place down there. The article says the German settlement stirs controversy in Chile. That's just a mild word that the author put in just at this point again. Right now they have 250 adults. There is no record kept of who is born and who dies. They have their own cemetery. At a remote control gate, a good distance from their main entrance, a voice warns through the intercom, don't take photos from the road of the colony's property without written permission. The main entrance is 22 miles east of Parral, P-A-R-R-A-L, and it borders on Argentina. 1966 was the first time Colonia came into the news. Wolfgang Mueller, 20 years old, escaped from there and told about the terror. He was forced long hours on the field, no pay, frequently beaten. He was sexually abused by Paul Schaefer before they came to Chile when he was still in Germany. Schaefer then used memory-altering drugs on him if he became rebellious. Wolfgang Mueller said children were separated, and this is where this came from their parents, and they were instructed to call him aunt and uncle, and a number of the Nazis were living in the settlement. Wilhelmine Lindemann, another woman who fled in 1966, supported his accounts, told how she was drugged, given injections. They got her back into Colonia Dignitat by saying that her husband and her family were coming from Germany to see her, and she hasn't been seen since. The Chilean Senate started an official inquiry, finally, because of the outcry caused by those two that had escaped. They entered the colony at one point, said they saw nothing, dropped the inquiry, and later were charged with taking bribes to say they didn't see anything. That was back earlier when the charges came out. In 1976, 3 years after the coup, after Allende was murdered and Pinochet had been in power 3 years, the United Nations Human Rights reports came in with accounts of Colonia Dignitat. They said the colony trained dogs to attack intruders on their sexual organs. There were experiments testing torture, tolerance limits, and tests with the use of drugs to break detainees. Colonia Dignitat was especially equipped with an underground torture center, which it still has, of course, with small soundproof cells, hermetically sealed. This is the UN reports, and I have to look up the dates to see if Mr. Waldheim was the head of the UN when these reports came in. The detainees' heads are covered with leather hoods. They're stuck to their faces with substances that are supposedly chemicals. In these cells, interrogations are called out through electronic equipment, including loudspeakers and microphones. The detainees are tied naked to metal frames and receive electric shocks. There are allegations that Colonia Dignidad, as I say, now called Bavarian Village, was involved in political repression as soon as Pinochet came into power. Juan René Muñoz Alarcón, and I'll do more about him, Alarcón, a former Socialist Party member, was a collaborator with Pinochet, and I'll give his account probably next week, and with the secret police, the DINA, and Muñoz identified the colony as one of several places where persons had disappeared and were taken away by the security forces. And after he gave a deposition or a lot of information to a group that published it in Counterspy, that's now called National Reporter, he was soon stabbed to death. He supplied a lot of information, and I'll share that with you. And then after he gave the information, he was quickly stabbed. Juan René Muñoz Alarcón gave a taped deposition to the Vicariate of Solidarity to the Catholic Human Rights Group in San Diego, Chile. In 1977, the West German magazine Stern followed the United Nations reports with an article by Amnesty International telling about torture, the secret police, political prisoners. Samuel Fuenzalida, an ex-agent of DINA, the secret police of Pinochet, testified that it was his role to deliver prisoners to the colony on two occasions in 1974, and where he was received by a professor he recognized as Paul Schaefer, the man who runs Colonia Dignidad. Colonia sued Stern magazine and Amnesty for libel for printing this information, and the colony was protected, Colonia, by the lawsuit because they were repeating the UN reports and the Amnesty International reports. Stern magazine published them. But the judge who heard the case happened to be a member of the Nazi Party. He was under Adolf Hitler, and he was the judge assigned to take care of this case, and he ordered that this be dropped, that the information not proceed in the German newspapers, and that's the kind of control that is taking place in Germany and is continued up to this present date, where they want to go into the material. In November of 87, just currently, Stern magazine published harrowing accounts, again, from several people who had escaped, and Hugo Barr, a Baptist minister and a Russian-German exile, who fled the Ukraine, started a religious colony in Germany in Westphalia in 1955. Now, that's where Himmler's castle is, and this is where Michael Aquino goes later. This is in 1955 to that castle to do the rituals of the satanic cult and become part and parcel of what Heinrich Himmler, is the head of the Waffen-SS, the Gestapo, was creating in that castle in Westphalia. Certain persons from Westphalia then moved to Seeburg, where they worked with Mr. Schaefer, and then went to Colonia Dignidad, and luckily several of them have been able to try to tell stories about what's going on. Among other things, German officials are looking now, this article said, into the possibility that, now they say 20 or 30, but it could be many more. If they're looking into 20 children, they'll never open Colonia Dignidad. I bet you could add a zero to each of those 200 or 300, because I don't believe they 20 or 30 missing children in Germany would cause the Chilean government and the German government to finally get on this case. This article says it was the missing children who disappeared from West Germany that there is a belief that they have been taken to Colonia Dignidad, and so the government is going to look into this. New reports were filed with the West German Foreign Ministry since 1985. They were kept confidential about what was going on. They were told about the beatings, the drug injections, the sadistic treatings, the intent to destroy individual personalities, to turn them into virtual slave laborers. The government was sending from $48,000 to $80,000 each month down to Colonia, and this has been kept secret. But now, according to the Washington Post, December 25th, now the German government has prompted the German embassy in Chile to look into what they already had told to cool before. They had cooled it before for years, and they kept cordial ties with the colony. And now Foreign Minister Genscher, as I said, has said he has an intent to expose it. Foreign Minister Genscher may be a new kind of hero. Goodness knows what he'll find. And so the German government is pressuring Chile. That's one half of the problem. to go into Colonial Dignitat. Now, one quick item before the program time is up. San Francisco Chronicle and L.A. Times, December 31st. Bond conservative softens on the USSR. It's about Franz Joseph Strauss, who is from Bavaria. The colony has changed their name because of him. His pictures are all over the place. He flew his private airplane to Moscow last week to meet with Mr. Gorbachev, and they conferred and agreed that the two countries, enemies in World War II, should open a new chapter in their relationships. They want to involve each other in Mars and get on with peace. Peace according to whom? It's a little bit scary. And this story from the L.A. Times and from the San Francisco Chronicle tells about the welcoming Franz Josef Strauss, the most vocal anti-communist in West Germany, and that really pretty big title right there, has a private plane and is in the company of Mikhail Gorbachev for 2 or 3 days when Gorbachev returns from the United States. I wonder about Reza Gorbachev and whether she is a white Russian like Marina Oswald. I'm wondering what is going on. It is a little bit scary. It's more than a little bit scary how welcome Mr. Strauss is, and he has strong links to the CIA, to the links to Colonial Dignitat, to George Bush, to Vernon Walters, our UN ambassador. So there may be some pretty weird and scary things going on behind the scenes. That's all I have time to do this evening, and I'll continue more on Colonia next week. Before I conclude, I want to say that the previous hour of World Watchers has been made possible in part by Aries Arts in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for over 20 years. You stay tuned now, and we will start the second part of World Watchers, where it is your turn to call in and tell me what you're thinking about and these matters about Colonia. Many of you remember those from the broadcast I did earlier.
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another.
Thank you.